What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Outkick Bets podcast. It's the final NFL betting preview of the 2023-2024 season. I got the homies, Fox News financial analyst Scott Martin and fellow Outkick handicapper Dan Z here to help me break down Super Bowl 58 between the Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers. We're going to talk about player props, maybe some novelty props, game props, a bunch of random different bets me, Dan, and Scott landed on. Obviously, we will start off, though, with the breakdown of the game and our picks to win the big game. Before we get into that, though, how was your guys' conference championship weekends? We'll start with you, Scott.
Oh, darn. I was hoping Dan would like lead off and then I could just jump on him or make mine sound better. Mine stunk because I didn't do anything that fun other than watch the game because I'm just not a cool guy. But it was okay. I mean, look, betting the games was a lot of fun. I ended up I was kind of rooting for the Chiefs, but took the Ravens. I was all on the Lamar train, so that didn't go very well. But I was happy to see the Chiefs win, I guess, sentimentally. And then the Niners was looking awesome because that was another pick that I made.
Wait. Can you explain sentimentally rooting for the Chiefs? That's interesting.
Yeah, sentimentally, as in Dan, guess what? The Cinderella team of the playoffs,
oh, yeah,
bro.
Here we
your
go.
Favorite right, line right, because right, your girlfriend's right, name is Cinderella, as you know. And so I used her
Cinderella
name in vain
team.
And talked about Barbarella. I mean,
the
Cinderella.
Two-time champion budding dynasty Cinderella team, right? Sorry.
And according to you, could not win on the road, but won two games on the road.
I did not say that. That do not misquote me, bro.
We may have to go back to the tape. Regardless.
I said we didn't know because we hadn't seen it. I didn't say they couldn't. I said we didn't know because we hadn't seen it.
Well, I told you it was coming. I should have followed my own advice because I took the Ravens, lost that. But I did have the 49ers money line, and I had them plus with the spread, which was 7 or so. And unfortunately, because that garbage touchdown on the garbage Lions offense on that last drive, they finally – knocked one in and busted the spread on me against the
yeah,
Niners.
But
other than
okay.
that, it was okay.
So I was on the Niners as well, minus the number. And I was pissed about that. But then I was like, but they didn't really deserve to cover 7.5. Like, I look at that one. It's like, Jeff and I have talked about this on the pod many times. Like, there are, like, bad beats and there are lucky wins. And you kind of got to know the difference. Like, I didn't feel like I was on the right side there, right? Like, the only reason they covered the spread in the first place was kind of a garbage long run while they were milking the clock. They really shouldn't have ever been up by enough to cover the spread, and they were down by 17. So I don't look at that as like a bad beat on that touchdown. It almost was like poetic justice. I felt
yeah, I
good for like Jeff the Lions better, who's like, you deserve
yeah,
to win that, and I'm glad you did.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I guess the bad beats, lucky wins. I mean, but either way, it affects the wallet in the same way. And so to me, you know, we're going to get lucky. We're not going to get lucky. For me, I'd rather get lucky. And so I wasn't happy to see that, especially I think it was a fourth down throw to Josh Reynolds or whoever was wide open. It just, you know, it's one of those things where, like, that was a game, though, that I felt like the Lions showed up a lot more than I thought they would. And so you're right. That wasn't an easy cover. Jeff always calls it a rocking chair win, a rocking chair cover, not even close to
which
what
that
was going to
be. Which
should
have been for Lions bettors, because if you had plus 7.5 and they're up 24-7 at halftime,
yeah.
you're going to be like,
yeah.
well, I feel pretty good about
thing.
Where I'm at.
Right. And good point. And there's so many games this year that we've talked about that have slipped away from bettors like that. So, hey, there you go. You got rewarded. But either way, I don't want to see some of this come through in the Super Bowl because I'm throwing heavy, heavy dollars down on a lot of this stuff we're going to talk about.
That's interesting. I'm going to circle back on that. I, with sides and totals in the regular season and playoffs, I am 60-39-3 entering the Super Bowl. So I've clinched a 60% winning rate this year. I'm pretty pumped about it. I went 1-1 in the conference championships, whiffed with the Ravens, as we just discussed, hit with the Lions, and I went 2-for-1 in player props in both games. So 4-2 in player props. As far as the Super Bowl goes, you just kind of gave me an idea of another thing that I want to talk about, which is bet sizing for the Super Bowl. So you're one of those people that go hard at the Super Bowl, like almost regardless, or do you think you have a massive edge in this game or in the player props?
Well, I just think, Jeff, for me, I'll go with the usual kind of ratios of capital on the spread when we use the model to kind of fade the public and fade some of that information. But when it comes to hanging with you guys for the last few weeks and doing all these props and seeing how you've had some pretty insightful commentary about props, I'm thinking about laying some coin on some props, like some heavy coin, just because I can't get the real true public data on some of the props because it's just a thin market or a thinner one. But I do listen to you guys, though, and defer to you on some of these props and found some for myself that actually I kind of like a lot. So if you mix it all together and aggregate it, there's going to be more money on this game for me than there has been all year, for sure.
Yeah, I hear you on that. My plan here is I have like a 5-unit allocation for all my Super Bowl bets. I'm doing 1 unit on the side, a half unit on the total, and then 17 player props, or I'm usually hitting like a fifth of a unit.
Only
on
17.
Them. Yeah, only 17. We're not going to probably go through all 17 of them here.
I'm glad you have it under control then, as far as the prop betting goes.
I went, I think, 13-5 last year in prop bets.
Beautiful.
So I'm feeling.
What are you doing? What's your unit size? I'm sorry. I don't, maybe I missed that. Are you doing like a quarter unit per prop?
Yeah, like a fifth of a fifth of a unit per prop. A couple okay. of like the. I haven't any.
What about? I know you love the minus money props because you think. Well, not you think. You know that that's generally that their books are trying to get you. So when you say. You're doing like a quarter unit, fifth unit. Is that to win or wager if you're doing like a big minus money one or like a minus 150 or minus 185?
Good question. I'm going to do to wager, or I'm risking 0.2 units to win 0.18, something like that, right? I actually don't have a lot of like expensive props here. The most expensive one is the shortest touchdown one that I'm going to give out. But yeah, I guess I am going kind of hard in the Super Bowl. But as far as the game, like, this is just going to be your standard bet. Like, I'm going to have just as much money on this game as I did Cleveland Browns, New York Jets, Thursday Night Football Week 17. Like, so I don't know. I'm not going to go that hard on it because I don't think there's much of an edge to be gained here. In fact, I'm probably, I don't know, whatever. Let's talk about the game itself. Right now, the Chiefs are... 2-point underdogs. The money line is, what the hell, is minus 122 for the 49ers, plus 108 for the Chiefs. Total is 47.5. That's pretty much across the board for all those numbers. I'm going to take the Chiefs here for the same square shit everyone has said this entire week. You know, better coach, better quarterback, better defense, and better special teams, actually. You know, but I am interested in hearing a counterpoint. I think you have one, Scott. So who do you like in this game and why?
I do. It's Pauly Public on the Chiefs, man. They're catching up to that Cinderella story that Dan loves so much. And the Chiefs come in, I guess, perceivably with more momentum. They've already beaten the 49ers in the Super Bowl before. Everybody loves Taylor Swift again, I think, or maybe less people hate her. And it just looks to me like that's a public trap. And also, too, the fact that this is – the allocation, the setup, as I like to say, where the spread, if you go to the window, looks a little low as far as the public is concerned. So when you see that spread that just doesn't look quite right or doesn't look like it looks like too favorable for one side, that's when I go to the other side. And it's showing up in the data for the public so far and has been pretty consistently, almost right out of the gate. And it's been filling in more so where the public is just on the Chiefs to kind of take this one home again. Maybe based on some history, maybe based on Taylor Swift and her great singing. It was just recently the Grammys, as we all know, and I know Dan enjoyed that very much, as did I. We texted during it. It was lovely. But more so, it's also just the
don't even pretend. No. I will not have my name associated with having watched the Grammys even in it. Like, people need to know you're joking. This is not true.
Okay.
I did not watch the Grammys. I refuse to watch the Grammys. Don't associate me.
And Dan, I'll pick you up my fast car next time. However, the 49ers look like that team that almost doesn't deserve to be here. The Chiefs, I think we all could argue, does deserve to be there based on how their playoff performance and body of work is. The 49ers, you know, home field advantage, obviously the number one seed and so forth. And so they kind of look like they kind of limp their way in. But they've had 2 weeks to get ready. Debo's coming back. I think the coaching advantage is non-existent anymore. So that's a pretty good matchup on the coaching side. And something where the public is just being led to the Chiefs because that's the more fun, exciting Cinderella story and the team that everybody's pulling
Jeff,
for, like the kid
Jeff,
the
you
got to
jump in here.
Movie.
Jeff,
yes.
You got to jump in.
So I'm taking
here.
The Niners.
And
that's
Andy Reid. He says no coaching advantage between Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan. Jeff, what
Dude,
are your
Kyle
thoughts
Shanahan
on that?
Has shown up, man. Kyle
what
Shanahan
are your thoughts on
up?
That host of the show, Jeff? Scott, give us a moment. Give the host some room to breathe.
I believe Kyle Shanahan's one of the more overrated coaches in sports. He gets just a clean pass for any bad seasons he has, any F-ups he has in championship games or just whiffs, and I don't really get it. I feel like it's a bit of a nepotism thing. He is also an elite play designer and play caller, but I have a strong disagreement with you on the coaching.
But based on what he's working with vis-a-vis what Andy Reid has, I think Shanahan has more outperformed his expectations than Reid has.
I mean,
Mr. Irrelevant, Jimmy Garoppolo, the most prettiest man in the NFL, but can't even throw a pass.
Yeah, what is this, Patrick Mahomes' fourth Super Bowl in the last 6 years? He's playing the AFC Championship in six straight years. Has only 6 years as a starter. If you're saying he didn't maximize Patrick Mahomes.
Travis Kelce, the best tight end in the league. Yeah. Tyreek Hill, one of the fastest receivers that's ever been on a field. Patrick Mahomes, probably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And Shanahan putting together pieces of a puzzle to get back to the NFC Championship and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, totally. Like San Francisco's 49ers, like they tweeted out against all odds that they're in the Super Bowl. They have the best roster in the NFL in the last 5 years. I mean, God, let's just bow down at the altar at Kyle Shanahan for Kyle Shanahan. No, he's an awesome coach. I think you're tripping by saying it's an equal coaching edge.
He's an awesome coach?
Yeah, there you go. See, we heard it. See, Jeff's coming around. Welcome to reality.
I think you can't, if I'm being objective, he has to be a top 10 coach in the NFL. Objectively.
Okay, but top 10 is not awesome.
All right.
That's only in the top 30% of coaches. That's great. It's not awesome.
Okay, he's
top five?
He's a B-minus coach.
Wow, I love it.
What? This has got to be graded on a curve. This must be prep school. This is ridiculous. This is junior college.
I'll say this, though. I mean, you, Scott, you're throwing out like, oh, he's got Brock Purdy. Well, Shanahan had a chance to draft a quarterback, and he chose Trey Lance at number 3. You could argue that Andy Reid saw something in Patrick Mahomes, like, I want that guy at 15, and just outdrafted Kyle Shanahan, which, to Jeff's point, would make Andy Reid that's a positive in Andy Reid's favor and a negative in Kyle Shanahan's favor. You're sort of assuming that Shanahan had nothing to do with drafting Trey Lance and Andy Reid had nothing to do with drafting Patrick Mahomes. And
well, thus, some of
they were
front
just
office.
Given these pieces.
Front office, and then Mahomes fell to Reid. Reid didn't really have too much of a choice because guys got picked ahead of Mahomes and he didn't even have a chance to pick over.
So here's my thing, and you might end up being right in cashing this bet because it just feels square. Like, I haven't heard very many people give out the Niners. I've heard a few people, but not very many. Everyone's betting the Chiefs according to the available betting splits, and the line still has the 49ers favorite, right? So I think you're fading the public is obviously that's your go-to angle, and that's a very strong one, especially in this one. But as we're starting to talk about it, you're pretty much saying, well, these rosters are equal, right? The coaching is equal. We know who's got the better quarterback. So your whole thing is fading the public here, which is fine. I am not diminishing that angle at all.
I am going to diminish that angle in the Super Bowl. I'm going to diminish it. And here's why. Because I don't think it matters, quite honestly. Like, there's going to be so much money bet on this game. And if the line got out of control or was shifted too far in one favor because of the public, then sharps would jump in with millions and millions of dollars. So to me, this line is right, and there's no reason to overthink it. Patrick Mahomes has been here. Brock Purdy hasn't.
Even better. Even another reason that the public's going to get faked into this, and it does matter, Dan, because the last 2 years, the same thing has been said and happened. I mean, last year, the Eagles were the big public fave, and look how that worked out year before as well. So that's just one of those things where it still goes, man. It goes through every game because Vegas, last time I checked, guys, does pretty well, and they don't like to lose. And the public is all over the Chiefs. So I'm on the other side.
No, that's fair analysis.
He's just wrong. It's all right.
I'm on Dan's side here. I just think maybe I'm talking myself into the Chiefs and not budging on it, but it's just like one of those things where maybe it's like old school bookmaking where it's just like, nah, the Vegas or the sports books think they have the right number and they're going to accept the action. That's that. And they're going to take a loss or a win, and it doesn't really matter because ultimately, like, the cash is really the penny slots and the blackjack tables and the online gaming and all that other shit.
And Dan's drinking and the drinking on the floor, you know, from the cocktail waitresses.
Those are free,
but wait, those are free. Oh, they are free. Darn. Not for me, they aren't. They make me pay for them.
All right, so Scott's fading the public. He's fading me and Dan, going with the Niners. I'm hoping you're doing the money line, -122 at DraftKings.
I just want to point out that the three times we've done this podcast together, Scott has picked the Niners, and they failed to cover in either one. So that's important.
It means I'm due, Dan.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Yes, great angle. That's such a smart betting angle.
It's like you during this regular season. It's like you during the regular season. You were due, bro.
Dude, you gotta. I love that. You're Wink Martindale in the Super Bowl. Just like, whatever. I'll bet whatever I lost in the Niners, I'm gonna make it back.
Can't possibly lose again. It's unfathomable.
The total I have less conviction in. It's only a half unit size bet for me. Really, if any at all. I'm hoping that it gets above 47.5, which is a key number, but Pinnacle's down to a flat 47. They're like the sharpest sports book in the world. Both coaches are more conservative than people realize. There's more cash in the under, more bets are on the over, according to PFF.
Shanahan is incredibly conservative. For like a guy who's known as a sort of, and I listen, to be fair, I like Kyle Shanahan a lot. Jeff and I argue about Kyle Shanahan all the time. However, I totally agree that Reed is better. There's not really an argument against that. But he is incredibly conservative, like ridiculously so for a guy who is known as like one of the young, hip, you know, into the numbers. Like, no, he's not. He's not at all. In fact, that'll lead me quickly. I'll just give out one prop I like. DraftKings is offering highest red zone touchdown percentage, and the Chiefs are +115. I know you guys, Jeff, you hate plus props, but
not true.
I tend to think that the 49ers would be much more likely to kick a field goal in a situation where Reed has shown at times he's more aggressive, at least because he knows he has Patrick Mahomes, and he's willing to put the ball in Mahomes' hands. That leads me to believe that I think the Chiefs will actually have a higher red zone touchdown percentage. I mean, hell, they only have to get into the red zone and score a touchdown once to cash the bet. So it's kind of odd to me that bet is even plus money at all. It should just sort of be even because it's a bit of a coin flip. But I also think with the 49ers' willingness to kick more field goals, I'll take the Chiefs +115, higher red zone touchdown percentage.
All right, before we get into my and your props, Scott, just want to put a pin in the total conversation. I have a lean to the under. If anything, it's a half unit play. Do you have a play on the total? Or you can just
under
do a straight
well.
Skip?
No, under as well. Just running the model on that right before we got on the pod today. The public's all over the over because it's the Super Bowl and everybody wants to see points. Everybody's excited about the quarterback play. Everybody's excited how great of a coach apparently Andy Reid is versus Mike Shanahan's son. And therefore, it's like there's just going to be points scored everywhere, which you'll see in some of the props that I'm making today, too.
Public thinking Andy Reid's a better coach. That's freaking Polly Public. Those idiots.
What are they smoking out in Vegas? We'll know on Sunday.
The guy's only been to like 10 conference championship games.
Yeah. At least in this game, we'll know.
Only 10.
But
it's only 10.
It's under for me. Yes. It's under for me.
Good stuff, guys. Way not to talk over each other here. Anyways, let's go to the player props. Since I have 17, I'm not going to just vomit out all 17. I'll try to pick and choose here. One of them, I'm going to go under 49ers Brock Purdy, 10.5 yards in his first completion. It's -125 at DraftKings. You got to go to the player first tab and then first completion dash yards. Kansas City's defense is second in yards per pass allowed, and my hunch is the Chiefs are going to allow the San Francisco to run the ball early and try to take the big plays away. Maybe eventually they'll like get greedy and throw into some coverage. At least that's my thought on what their defensive game plan will be early on. Kansas City has the 6th fewest missed tackles, so that's less of a chance of like a chunk play on the first play. Obviously, this is kind of a coin flip bet, but just getting the prop conversation going after Dan's first prop. Kansas City's defense is second in pressure rate, so you know if it's a passing situation, they're going to possibly pin their ears back and get in Brock Purdy's face. So I'm going to go under Brock Purdy, 10.5 yards for a completion. Scott, what do you have a prop that you want to give out?
Yeah, I'll stay on Purdy, actually, Jeff. The prop's not a bad call that you made there. I just think it's a little bit too random. Just it's a tough one. It's kind of like the coin flip, which I would take heads, which I'm not betting on, by the way. However,
let's stay on Purdy, though. Hold on. If you do, bet at a DraftKings. They're giving you plus 100 on both the heads and the tails.
Exactly.
FanDuel's minus 104.
They don't even – Connecticut says no betting on the coin flip. It's a state law.
That's because it's too. It must be too risky.
I have a feeling
that's what the problem is.
I have a feeling me and Scott are gonna be on the same prop. What do you got here, Scott?
I got Purdy under 31.5 passing attempts at minus 115 because this you'll see from the props, and we talked about this a few minutes ago. This is a lot of the props that I'm pointing out or picking, at least going to throw some cash at, are going to be part of this game flow type of back and forth, low scoring game that we're looking at. So if you just look at Purdy in the last, let's say, 6 to 9 games even, but certainly more even recently, and he's not had his full slate of receivers, and there's probably been a little bit of, like you said, you know, some Kyle Shanahan lack of aggressiveness at times. But Purdy, I don't think, is the one that's going to win this game. And so when you see a game that we're going to have, which I think is going to be a little bit more of a tussle, a little bit more of a back and forth, maybe a little bit more of a field position type of battle, Purdy under 31.5 attempts, especially after coming out of two games that were a little bit more active, a little bit more higher scoring, a little bit more of a back and forth. So Green Bay, obviously, against that, you know, with against that offense, and then of course against the Lions, it just seems like there's going to be a little bit of a relay back to some of the more control offense that Shanahan typically runs. And so under 31.5 for Purdy pass attempts.
Yeah, I heard a sharp guy give that out a couple hours ago. I don't hate that at all. That didn't make my prop sheet, though.
It wasn't Scott, though.
No, but Scott's analysis.
I would never be associated with that.
I like Scott's analysis on it, though. Do you have any Brock Purdy props or player props, or are you mostly focused on game team stuff, Dan?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm going to probably avoid most of the player stuff. I've been burned too many times in the past. And
Dan.
I'm poly public. I get sucked into some of these ones that look obvious. I think Mahomes' total passing yards is a little inflated. So I would lean under 260.5. I think people are going to look at that like he's going to throw for 300 yards. Of course he's going to throw for 300 yards. He's Patrick Mahomes. I'm getting it at 260.5. That one feels like a big time trap to me. I might throw a little bit of coin on that, but look, man, it's the Super Bowl. I'm not you guys. You guys, you know, partially make some of your living off of this stuff. I do it for fun. I'm looking to get some plus money odds. I'm looking to parlay some stuff. You know, I might parlay Mahomes under passing yards with something to get me plus money. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at this game totally differently than you guys, which is I want to make some money, but I'm not wagering enough that it's going to cost me my rent. And so if I win, awesome. It'd be a nice little bonus. If I lose, oh well. I just want to enjoy the game. So
you can come stay with me, Dan, if you lose too much.
I kind of like coming at it from, like, it's cool. We got two basically professional bettors, and I'm coming at it more from, like, how a casual fan might look at it. So, you know, if you want me to give one, I can, that I like plus money.
Of course.
So this one's going to seem kind of crazy, and – you know, again, I'm not advocating you putting your rent on it, but San Francisco 49ers to record a sack, no, is plus 650. That's high. And I'll tell you why. In four of Patrick Mahomes' last six playoff games, so over the last two playoffs, he has had four out of six where he wasn't sacked once. In the playoffs, San Francisco only has two sacks. They sacked Jared Goff twice. They did not sack Jordan Love in the first playoff game. And Love and Mahomes play a very similar game. I think it's absolutely 100% conceivable that San Francisco does not record a sack in this game. So much so that plus 650 is way too high for my liking. So I love that number.
Did you just compare Jordan Love to Patrick Mahomes? Wow.
Style.
That sounds like Kyle Shanahan to Andy Reid.
Style.
Oh, style. Right.
Words are Jordan important, Love Scott. Is, I know okay. You don't. I know you don't totally understand that. You know, English language not necessarily your specialty.
I just
some of us
English,
are journalists.
Man, come on.
Some of us are journalists, you know, respected in the field.
You're an English major, I know. But here's the one thing. I think that actually is a good point, because this would be one of those games that the public would look at this and say, Bosa, Chase, everybody's going to get back to Mahomes. But he is Wiley back there. And I think a lot of the offense, at least to start, is going to be just kind of some not so much dink and dunks, but some short passes, obviously some handoffs. And so certainly I think as we get into the game, there may be more of a bigger pass rush, but not a bad, and certainly the odds on that are nice.
And tying into that, there's one other one. I'll just give it out because it's there's no reason to switch topics and then come back. But time of first sack on or after 9 minutes and 30 seconds elapsed in the first quarter. I am going, let's see, it'd be under, I guess. I don't know. However it's worded. Basically, I'm saying there's not going to be a sack in the first 10 minutes of the game. I think that's another one that people assume, again, like you said, that with the 49ers pass rush and even the Chiefs have a strong pass rush and they've made some big plays against Lamar Jackson. But I see
that would be
what
over.
You guys,
yeah.
I see what you guys see, which is that I think both teams are really going to try to establish the run a bit early in the game, try to avoid taking that big loss, you know, quick passes, get the ball out. Mahomes will move around. So I would say yes, over 9.5 minutes elapsed in the first quarter before we get the first. I think it's just going to be a low sack total game. I thought about, Jeff and I talked about have zero sacks in the game entirely, but Purdy just takes too many sacks for me to bet on that.
I agree.
Yeah, like you, I'm fading some Pat Mahomes passing usage. I'm going under 0.5 or a half interception. So no interceptions. Going under Pat Mahomes, 25.5 completions, and I'm going under San Francisco sacks, under 1.5 sacks at plus 130.
So yeah, I was going to mention that too. I'm glad you did. If you're not quite confident enough to go with no at plus 650, under 1.5 looks great as well at plus 130.
Yeah, it's at DK. I have obviously some receiving props as well.
So to your point though, you talk about how the public likes plus props, but I look at, especially on these big sites, like they want parlay. They're giving out a ton of bonuses on same game parlay. Like they are all about the parlays. San Francisco over 1.5 sacks, I think, is one that they're hoping the public gets on as like, oh, I can throw that in a parlay. That's going to hit. San Francisco, they get after the quarterback, Nick Bosa. I think that's one that actually is priced incorrectly going the opposite direction because they're expecting people to jump on that minus one, but not necessarily as a straight bet, but more as one that they include in their parlays that they're counting on cashing, the sports books, that is.
That's actually a good point. What other props do you got, Scott? I know you got to leave in the next like 15 minutes, so me and Dan might just soldier on without you.
No, I'm going to stay.
How could we possibly do that?
You can. I don't want to make Dan feel like he's getting to me, because he is. So how about this? Debo Samuel is back, and he's probably at about 75 to 95%, which is really good for Debo against defenses, because I think Debo's one of the most interesting men in the world, especially when it comes to the football field. So Debo's back, as we saw in the Lions game, 8 receptions, 89 yards, long of 26. How about this, though? This is, again, game flow, and this is what Shanahan can do vis-a-vis our boy Andy Reid, or Dan's boy, and how I think the San Francisco offense is going to take more pressure or more emphasis off of Purdy and put it on another player, spread the wealth around. Debo, over 16.5 rushing yards, minus 120 at DK, where you're getting just Debo the ball more. He's coming back. He's healthier. He does this in games when he's healthy. He does this in games when there's a formidable opponent on the other side, when they need to kind of spread things around, when they need big plays. And so Debo, I believe, is going to get maybe 3 to 4 carries in this game, and he's probably going to break at least maybe a 20, 15-yarder, which puts us pretty much right there at the rushing total. So over 16.5 rushing yards at minus 120.
If you followed me throughout the years, you know I'm a South Dakota girl at heart who grew up in a ranching family. And I know that America First isn't just a political movement, it's a kitchen table issue, quite literally. I always support American family-owned companies, ranchers, and farmers who put high-quality meat products on the tables of their fellow Americans, and my friends at Omaha Steaks are the experts. With Father's Day right around the corner, what better to give dad than the experience of world-class Omaha Steaks with the deluxe Father's Day gift for just $89.99. This package includes a mouth-watering assortment of dad's grilling favorites like Omaha Steaks Butcher's Cut Top Sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steaks burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code OUTKICK at checkout to order the deluxe Father's Day gift and get 4 additional burgers absolutely free. That's 24 unforgettable entrees for just $89.99 when you use promo code OUTKICK at checkout. Get quality steaks for the fathers in your life. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code OUTKICK and get the deluxe Father's Day gift plus 4 free burgers today.
My favorite prop this Super Bowl is going to be under Brock Purdy, 12.5 rushing yards, which is even money at DraftKings. Pinnacle has it at 11.5. And everyone's kind of overreacting to Brock Purdy scrambling against the Lions in crucial drives to bring them back into that game and scrambling against the Packers. But his average rushing yard median this year per game medium is 7 rushing yards. So he doesn't even get close to this very often. And sportsbooks were taking action on him to go over 5.5 rushing yards in the 2 playoff games prior. So I think that's going to be a very public play where people are like, oh man, I just saw Purdy run all over the Lions and he's going to do it again against the 49ers. And he's just, the odds say that he isn't. And
or against the Chiefs, yeah, but you're right. He'd be doing it against the 49ers all day long. But to your point, Jeff, he was getting chased around too. So that's not the first design, like you said. I think the first design for Purdy is to be getting rid of the ball, obviously. So if he gets chased around, maybe he does bust that out. But ideally, he's not going to be doing that because I don't think he's going to get sacked and chased that much. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, speaking of rushing, one that I know we both like is Elijah Mitchell over 3.5 rushing yards.
I actually don't have that on my card. I took someone else instead. I went over Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 6.5 rushing yards.
Ooh, that hurts. Ouch. Ouch, Dan.
Why are you taking Elijah Mitchell?
I think Kyle Shanahan has proven he loves Elijah Mitchell. He's had chances to get rid of him. He let Raheem Mostert walk. He's kept Elijah Mitchell around. When Elijah Mitchell's healthy, they like to get him the ball. I know a lot of people probably just assume, like, look, it's the Super Bowl. You're going to get Christian McCaffrey the ball. That's true. They are. But 3.5 yards is basically one carry. Elijah Mitchell averages like 5 yards a carry for his career. So I'm basically betting on him getting one carry and taking it for at least 5 yards. I think that's kind of a lock, to be honest.
So both that prop and Scott's Debo prop kind of bucket under my analysis for I'm going under Christian McCaffrey 18.5 rushing attempts. I think, and I didn't even think about the point that you made with the same game parlays. Everyone is going to same game parlay over Christian McCaffrey. Everything's going to go over Christian McCaffrey. He's only attempted 19 or more rushing attempts in 7 of his 18 regular season and playoff games this season. Like you said, Elijah Mitchell gets touches. He gets roughly 7 carries per game when he played. Debo Samuel, like Scott, I think, pointing out why. What's the word I'm looking for? Whatever. Intelligently pointed out is I think Debo Samuel's going to get some carries. Brilliantly. Thank you. He averaged 2.5 carries during the regular season. I do usually like to go with more expensive props, but I just feel like this one's going to be very public despite it being more expensive on the over.
Well, if you do want to parlay that, if you think that Debo's going to eat into his Debo over 2.5 rushing yards is on the board. Over 2.5 rushing attempts is on the board, and it's juiced heavily. Yep. So they are expecting Debo, at least from a Vegas standpoint. It's kind of nuts if you look at it. Like, how many times does Vegas expect the 49ers to run the football? I mean, you've got Debo's over-under is 2.5 carries, McCaffrey's is 18.5, and Purdy's is 3.5. So that's 25 rushing attempts right there.
Yeah. Purdy's under.
Yeah, and then you got 31 on the under for passing attempts. So there's, what is that? That's, 56 plays at least. So you've got, that's a lot of plays.
Man, good stuff, guys. I am going to go over Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 6.5 rushing yards. I don't think Jerick McKinnon's going to play. Pacheco isn't necessarily a bell cow running back, even though I do think he gets a lot of touches here. So I'm going to go over that one. That's another rushing prop. Also, you kind of alluded to this, Scott, earlier about like Brock Purdy's usage and like kind of what he's going to do. I'm going under Juwan Jennings, 11.5 receiving yards. I actually, my bookie gave it out at 15.5, so I hammered that under. But it's just as simple as like you're dropping back. Put yourself in Brock Purdy's shoes. He's dropping back in the Super Bowl. Who you look to throw to? Ayuk, Debo, Christian McCaffrey, Kittle. Does he make it to the fifth guy and throw it to Juwan Jennings? I'm going to go ahead and say no. I mean, he got a crazy, like, miracle duck completion over the middle of the field against the Detroit Lions of Juwan Jennings in, like, a broken play, but you can't count on that. That's not predictive. So I'm going to go under Juwan Jennings, 11.5 receiving yards.
I think that's smart, especially with Debo playing. Juwan basically has to step into the Debo role when Debo's out, but he's not out. So I think that's a good play. And DraftKings has it at 14.5 at this point, so.
Nice. So did I give it out at 11.5 like an idiot, and now it's 14.5?
I don't know why you did. Are people betting it up? That's crazy.
It's because of content. Better. Like, I'm holding back on a lot of the unders I'm going to bet until the end of the week or maybe a couple minutes before the Super Bowl. I'm going to start hitting them a little harder, but I have to, you know, have to write some stuff during the week.
I mean, you got to look, that's the best advice we can give, right? Like, everyone is looking to bet over pretty much everything. So look for the unders you like.
Scott, what other props do you have on your card?
Well, since Dan led me into this one, I'm actually going to take an over because I think that's perfect analysis. There is, you mentioned him, our boy George Kittle, who has not been around, really, not been a game factor for very long. And I think a lot of the public has forgotten about him. I think clearly maybe Purdy has forgotten about him a little bit. Even with Debo out, he wasn't really that big of a star when Debo's been dinged up this year. But Kittle still is that good tight end, and I'm not going to say is in the league of your boy Travis, Dan, but he's still a good tight end. He's still somebody that I believe Brock Purdy, when he maybe does get some pressure, maybe when he does need to make a completion, maybe when he does not have that first or second read, he goes to. And so Kittle's got 48.5 yards receiving at -120, and he has not been there. I mean, the fact of the matter is this is one of those props that kind of is out there that looks a little bit high, if you ask my opinion, but it's one of those two that I think can come into play pretty easily, given the fact that Debo being back, Ayuk's good, McCaffrey obviously in the backfield early and often, swinging out on, you know, wheel routes or screens or whatever it may be, that's going to free up that middle of the field for Kittle to get, I think, a little bit more space. And so when the Chiefs defense has to choose between, let's say, four guys to cover every time they drop back the pass, I think Kittle's one of those guys that can get free and get loose over the middle. And so 48.5 yards receiving looks like a fair way to play that.
I love Sam Darnold plus 20,000 for MVP.
Nice.
I'm just kidding.
No, I'd be willing to listen.
Can you imagine though?
Yeah,
I mean, what a dark throw. Like, Brock Purdy gets hurt in the first quarter and Sam Darnold leads them to a Super Bowl victory. Like, I mean,
what's the money line? What's the odds on that? The implied odds on plus 20,000. I'll look it up.
A million. It's probably a million.
No, I mean, like, what's the
Doesn't matter what the implied odds are, because the actual odds are like 100%. Sam Darnold's winning MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, look, if this was in Philly for the NFC Championship game, like, and we had a time machine, maybe we'd do that.
It's 0.5% chance of likelihood based on 200-to-1 odds, and I actually think there's a 1% chance Sam Darnold
would have been able to do that math.
There you go. Just hedge it out. Just bet it hard and hedge it out.
I'm taking George Kittle over 20.5 his longest reception. One of my player props that hit last week was going, or two weeks ago.
Sorry, I just, this is making me laugh. Like, if you threw $5 on Sam Darnold to win MVP, you win $1,000. Also, if it hit, I might do this just because if that somehow hits, I am posting that on Twitter. I'm making it my pinned tweet, and I am just always going to live off the fact that I placed a bet on Sam Darnold to win MVP, and it happened. You would be like the biggest soothsaying betting analyst ever. There's like, look at this fucking play. Look at this play.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, dude. I will have no Sam Darnold action in this game.
You know what? I'm doing it. I'm putting $5 on Sam Darnold to win MVP.
That's frightening.
Like I said, I'm going to go over 20.5 longest reception, George Kittle. I do think he does have a nice game. I gave out his under 4.5 receptions in the NFC title game, which cash, because as I said last week, he's more of a big play threat and less of a possession wide receiver. He had a 32-yard catch against the Packers, a 28-yard catch against the Lions. He actually had a 34-yard catch against the Chiefs last year. So I'm going to go over his longest reception. Scott, what's another prop you got?
Well, look, Dan has got me in the Super Bowl MVP mode, so let's just throw one out there.
Oh, actually, I was going to ask you this. I'm glad. How is the action look on the – I mean, I imagine Kelsey's taking a huge number based on his number.
I don't know.
That's who I'm taking for MVP.
You're taking Kelsey.
He's got to be a public favorite. He has to be. At 12-1, Kelsey has to be a massive public favorite.
It's hard to tell sometimes on these props because a lot of that stuff comes in later in the week after the after some of that stuff gets squared up. But I still like Kelsey's odds here. Last I saw it was 1,100. I've seen some 12s, 1,200s, and it's one of those I guess things where Mahomes could have a game like he had against the Ravens, which was let's say a middling type game. Kelsey had a great game. Taylor was there supporting him in every facet as usual. She's going to be there in Vegas. It's going to be absolutely fabulous to see the two of them on the field together. But Kelsey's kind of he's the straw that stirs the drink here for the Chiefs on the offense. And as much as like the Niners are going to scheme against him, he can break through. And so Kelsey at Super Bowl MVP, if the Chiefs do win this game, they're winning it because of Travis Kelsey, I believe, not Mahomes. So this is why I'm putting money on there, just to kind of hedge some of my earlier comments about the Niners taking this one.
According to one odds maker on the Super Bowl MVP market, our biggest liability is Sam Darnold. Because
That's thanks to you, Dan Darnold. You just made it the biggest liability.
He was 300-1. He's been bet down to 200-1. Oh, this is my favorite thing ever.
That's because you're betting it, not telling us how much you got on Sam Darnold, I bet.
But also, I googled Travis Kelce Super Bowl MVP, and the I'm sorry, actually I bet most bet Super Bowl MVP. I did not include a name, and the top hit is there's a reason Kelce is the most bet player to win the award this year. Pauly Public over there, Scotty Martin, everybody.
Hey, who would have thought? And that's my last prop. So look at that. I finished on a high note just to get aligned with you guys.
This doesn't make any sense. You're on the 49ers, but you're on Kelsey to win MVP?
You said it's a hedge.
As I said, it's a hedge earlier against before, just because I think that's good value. I'm looking at value in props. This is the prop shop, and at the prop shop, we try to find value, and Kelsey's still over 10-1 to win MVP, given the playoffs he's had and given the season he's had, and given that he has a hot girlfriend or engagement, whatever's going on with the two of them, baby mama. I'm taking Kelsey to win the MVP because I think he's the one that wins the game for the Chiefs, not Mahomes.
To back up Scott's point, I'm pretty sure the public vote makes up 20% of the Super Bowl MVP voting.
And that's going to all go to Kelsey.
Yep.
100%. Or Taylor.
All right, Scott. I appreciate you connecting with me. I know you got a big finance meeting.
Wait, is she an option? That would be hilarious. They should make her an option.
You should parlay that with Darnold, Dan.
Taylor Swift or Sam Darnold to win MVP.
Pin that on Twitter.
I love that.
All right, Scott, I'll let you get out of here. Thanks, buddy, for connecting. We'll probably
have enough here. Thank you guys. Enjoy the season. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome shooting the shit with you about football. Let's get you back in for the March Madness. Run that model for the March Madness bracket.
Oh, I can't wait to torch you in March Madness. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, Dan, you know that's not going to happen, but I will be back for that reason only, just to abuse me. See you guys
later, buddy. All right, Dan. Can I bounce off a couple more props off of you?
Yeah, I actually want to throw out, while we're talking about MVP, the Chiefs pass catcher that I like is Rashee Rice at 50-1.
I know he's getting a lot of love in the market. I think his receptions is 6.5. And I was close to going under because it's like, dude, that's a rookie. Come on. It's a rookie. Look,
I know, but his usage has gone up like crazy. He had a touchdown taken off the board on a great play against the Ravens, a touchdown that probably should have counted. I don't know, man. Like, I could see him making a big play that makes a big impact. And so I don't know that I necessarily would touch any of his, like, I definitely wouldn't go over 6.5. I don't think he has to, though. I don't think he's got to put together a 10 catch performance to, again, we're talking about a 50-1 shot here, right? So like implied odds, 2%. I don't expect him, but if you're looking to get off the board and not take Mahomes or Purdy or McCaffrey, the obvious choice, or Kelsey, the most obvious choice, I think Rashee Rice makes a nice pivot.
I feel like Corey Connors is 50-1 to win every tournament he's ever played in.
That might be true,
except for the Valero, which I think he's won twice now. Well, I have a couple more receiving props. I was kind of rushed there. I wanted Scott to get all of his out of the way. So, I'm going to go under or over Chiefs tight end Noah Gray, 11.5 receiving yards.
Oh my God! Now we're really getting into it.
I think because Kansas City's weak ass tackle situation, they're going to play a lot of 12 personnel to kind of help out with Joey Bosa and Chase Young, who can't defend the run, but can at least get to the quarterback a little bit. And he's just going to get enough like usage and snaps to get over that. Kansas City plays at the fourth highest rate of personnel, 11 personnel this year. He caught two passes last week and it was only 8 yards, but he had 5 targets, which was the most he was targeted in a game since week one, which Kelsey actually missed. His over 1.5 receptions is juiced to pinnacle, at pinnacle to a pretty high number. And he averaged 10.9 yards per catch during the regular season, which is a career high. So it's kind of like a random one, but I'm going over there. And I'm going under Isaiah Pacheco, 17.5 receiving yards. I went under his receiving yards last year in the Super Bowl. That cashed. It was at 16.5. He's had 14 or fewer receiving yards in 5 of his 6 career playoff games. He has just 9 career games with 18 or more receiving yards in the regular season. He only caught 4 balls or caught 4 balls for only 14 yards in the AFC Championship game a couple weeks ago. Kansas City has a limited offense with Kelsey and Rashee Rice and Pacheco, but I think San Francisco's defense is going to be cued in on him running routes out of the backfield. So I'm going to go ahead and go under his receiving
yards.
Yeah,
I mean, you're basically betting under on screens because Mahomes is a mobile quarterback. Mobile quarterbacks generally don't get to the running back option because they're just going to run it by that point. The only problem with that is I saw a stat about how good the Chiefs are at running screens. So that's, I guess, the only thing I would counter with.
That's fair. But I think that lateral movement plays into San Francisco's defense, right? Like, they're okay with Fred Warner chasing down the ball carrier as long as it's not, like, deep down the field. So, but, yeah, you make a good point. What else do I have here?
They also like to run screens to Kelsey and Rashee Rice, so that's part of it. That's also part of my analysis as to why Rashee Rice might make a flyer.
I'm going to go – I have a couple kicking props, actually. I'm going over Harrison Butker, 1.5 made field goals and -125. I don't know. There's not much analysis needed here. He's has at least 2 field goals in 12 of his 20 games this season. He's 12 for 12 from 40 yards out. He's hitting 95% of his field goals in the regular season and postseason combined. He was 4 for 4 in the wild card game, 2 for 2 in the divisional round. And outside of Justin Tucker, I think Harrison Butker is the best field goal kicker in the league, right? Maybe the Atlanta guy. And I'm also going, I cashed on over 36.5 shortest punt for Philadelphia Eagles punter last year. I'm going over 37.5 yards for the shortest punt by the 49ers this year. Their punter is Mitch Wisnowski. He's averaging 47.7 yards per punt. There have been a combined 40 punts. I looked this up. I looked up each box score in the last 5 Super Bowls, Dan. There have been 40 punts in the last 5 Super Bowls. And hold on, where is it? God damn it. Only 31 of them have gone longer than 38 yards. So, or excuse me, only 9 of them have gone longer than 38 yards. So 77.5% of the punts over the last 5 years in the Super Bowl have been under 38 yards. So I'm going under on Niners shortest punt, or excuse me, over Niners shortest punt, 37.5 yards. And I have a couple big plus money payout props I'm going to bounce off of you. Do you have anything you want to throw my way? You're just going to let me riff.
On your kicking props? No, I don't have any
thoughts. No, just generally. Not thoughts.
Kicking props.
Do you have any props that you want to discuss on your end?
No, not really. I've given out all mine. I'll probably add some stuff day of because, you know, it's just the Super Bowl and I'll be chasing my losses from the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Fair enough. Before I get into the big plus money payout props that I have, I only have two of them. Going shortest touchdown under 1.5 yards, which is down to -135 at DraftKings. And the last 11, I hit this last year as well, in the last 11 Super Bowls, there have been a total of 12 touchdowns inside or from the 1 yard line and in, with 9 of those Super Bowls actually having at least one 1 yard touchdown. There were 2 1 yard touchdowns last year, one by each team. So this is another one that like the public thinks, oh, that's not going to happen. But there's usually like a defensive pass interference that'll put another
one. It didn't happen 2 Super Bowls ago, though, I'm pretty sure, because I think I missed it that year.
Yeah, maybe. But 9 of the last 11, it has hit. Both of these are 6-1. I'm going Kansas City Chiefs defensive end George Karlaftis.
That's right. Cooper Kupp's game-winning touchdown was from 1 yard out after that. Because that's honestly why they happen, is because there's just so many freaking penalties nowadays. Like, there's a good chance there's going to be a penalty that puts the ball at the 1 yard line. Yep. First down from the 1 yard line.
Yep. I'm going 6-1. Kansas City Chiefs defensive end George Karlaftis to have the most sacks in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are favorites to have more sacks in the game and to get the first sack. Karlaftis has had sacks in 2 of his 3 playoff games this year. He's actually tied with Chris Jones for the most sacks on the Chiefs. They each got 10.5. Chris Jones is one of the best defensive linemen in football, absolute game wrecker. He's going to eat up blocks for Karlaftis, give Karlaftis one-on-one matchups. Karlaftis lines up next to Jones, and Jones has only had 2.5 sacks in 18 career playoff games. So while he is eating up the blocks, he's not actually getting to the quarterback himself in these playoff games. And San Francisco's pass block win rate is only 20th in the NFL, according to ESPN. And then one more. Chiefs wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling anytime touchdown at 6-1. It's just a tiny little bet that I'm throwing, or a flyer that I'm throwing out there. But last year, I bet this MVS anytime touchdown at +235. Granted, his production was better last year, but the Chiefs' offense was more dynamic and had a better wide receiving group than they do this year. He has 3 touchdowns, or 3 games of touchdowns in 10 playoff career games. So that's obviously 30%. A +600 has a 14% win implied win probability. And Pinnacle, the sharpest book out there, has MVS's anytime touchdown at +420. So we're getting a good deal at DraftKings. I think I gave out all 17 of my player props.
That's impressive.
51 minutes. So you can read them at outkick.com/betting. And yeah, that's it, dude. I'm going to miss the NFL season so much. I've heard some people say stuff like, oh, I'm happy to finally get a break. Like, dude, I wish it was 365. I love gambling on the NFL. It's my favorite shit ever.
I totally agree. It's sad. I've been trying not to think about it. But we got one game left, buddy. We got one game left.
Hopefully it's a good one.
Yeah, that's all I care about.
The sports books think it's going to be a good one. It's a tight spread. I'm on the Chiefs. Dan's on the Chiefs. Scott's fading us, fading the public, going with the Niners. Best of luck to you guys. Whether you fade or follow us or whatever Super Bowl bets you make. It's been a fun season, profitable season. Hopefully you guys like the content. If so, please leave a positive review on Apple and Spotify podcast. Show us some love on social media. Me and Dan will be back here next week to talk about the Genesis Invitational, I believe. I mean, I plan on being here. Hopefully Dan can be here as well. But that's it. Peace out, homies.